the Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And greetings, everybody. I'm John Loeffler, and I want you to imagine this scenario. It says scenario here, Jim. S-C-E-N-A-R-I. Why do they spell it like that?
A scenario is basically a scary scenario.
Oh, that's why they put the C in there. Okay, I want you to imagine this scenario. You start out on your career, fresh, bright-eyed, somewhat naive. And after college, you go to work for a major company. And after 40 years of being battered and bruised in the business workplace, you decide to retire, a wise move on your part. The company throws a retirement party. You get your Timex watch. Those are now cheapo. I mean, it's got to be bigger than that. Anyway, you get your watch.
All right. Now let's throw in a Citizens to make it, a better company. It certainly isn't a Rolex.
Okay. All right. With no Rolex. All right. Ixnay on their Olex Ray. Company throws your retirement party. You get a Timex watch and you head off to your golden years. You get a pension that is equal to 80% of your previous salary. And between that and Social Security for both you and your wife, and if you're a smart person, investments you've made over the years and the great interest you're earning on your certificates of deposit, your CDs, not only do you head off into the sunset in the golden years, you actually enjoy them. Okay. Medicare covers most of your medical expenses. And now that you're in your golden years, life has never looked this good. This is what you worked hard for, all of those years of hard work. And now you're enjoying the fruits of those labors. Well, it's either a movie or a world that once existed, which it did. Unfortunately, that world does not exist, nor is it coming back in our lifetimes, and I would say probably not even in the lifetimes of the millennials today. Gone are those days when companies offered retirement benefit plans that covered most of your salary. If you have any pension, it is most probably what you accumulated in your 401k program. Your income is whatever you can get on your investments. The bank no longer pays you much interest on your deposits, so it's not worth keeping your money there. Your Social Security options just got reduced, and your Medicare premiums are going to double over the next 4 years. Well, everybody, welcome to the new normal. Retirement isn't what it used to be. But don't be depressed and downcast. It's simply a different environment in which to function. So, James, how does today's retiring... How do you navigate through this minefield without feeling panic?
It's amazing because, John, you just described a world and a paradigm on retirement that really no longer exists. But, you know, if you think about the concept of retirement, that concept is changing over the last couple of decades, a result of many of the things you just talked about. But the idea of stopping work and heading into a life of leisure is gone. And I would say a new paradigm is emerging that supports the conclusion that, hey, work is empowerment and retirement could be actually demoralizing. If we look at some of the surveys of boomers 58 and older that we've talked about here on the program recently, 67% of them will continue to work after they retire in some form or another with the purpose they want to keep mentally active. And we also know from a lot of the health studies that we've talked about here that living a productive, useful life by working as long as possible is really the key to longevity. So we're also living in a world where the returns are significantly lower. I got started in this business, money market funds were 18%. Today, they pay you zero. Medical costs are escalating, especially after Obamacare. And retirees are living much longer thanks to the advancements in medicine. You're going to hear an interview that we're going to do the next day on stem cell therapy, a new emerging therapy that is going to create miracles. Imagine regrowing ligaments and organs in your body that could even extend our lifespan well beyond 100. So as a result of this, people are living longer. So our view of retirement is changing, and many boomers are pursuing different options as to what their retirement looks like. Suffice to say, it's much different today than, John, the scenario that you described. Really, what you described was our parents' retirement. They worked for a company. Usually, they stayed with that company their entire lifetime, 30, 40 years with the company. They had a defined benefit pension plan. They got close to 80% of their salary. They had Social Security. And between the pension and Social Security, it really covered most of their retirement expenses. In fact, some companies even had medical coverage for their retirees. That has gone pretty much by the wayside. But it's a different playbook from the past. As you described, that world of retirement that we know does not exist. It's a much, much different world today, a much different paradigm that people are looking at in retirement if they retire completely at all.
Well, you know, the most important thing when engaging on any kind of a project is to talk to people who've gone on the footpaths ahead of you. It takes out a lot of the panic. They can tell you what's around every curve. So if we're going to describe this new world, what does that new world look like today? Let's frame this one. If we assume the previous world, it's gone. Don't even think about it coming back. So how are most baby boomers navigating their retirement? Because to be honest with you, I think the baby boomers transition from that old paradigm to the new one. For the most part, they plowed into the new paradigm. I don't think they really navigated into it.
No, I think a lot of people, especially after the downturn in 2008, a lot of people were laid off prematurely. They might have said, you know, I'm going to work to age 65 or 66, whatever the age is. And all of a sudden, in the downturn, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people in the construction industry, the mortgage industry. So a lot of this is much different. One big difference, though, that we're seeing is many boomers are choosing to work after they retire. In fact, it may be a different occupation, or it could be in the same field. They may retire from a company and work part-time in a related field, or quite honestly, a different profession. A good example is I have a client of mine who's a neurologist, and at age 65, he retired and sold his one-third interest in the practice. But then he worked part-time for a chiropractic office from age 65 to age 70, because at age 70 and a half, he was going to have to start taking mandatory distributions from his IRA and pension plan. And the other thing he did is the way we set up his plan, he filed and suspended for his Social Security benefits so they could grow at that 8% a year. And basically, he had two things going for him. One, his Social Security was growing at 8% a year. His wife filed file and suspend, so her own benefits were growing at 8% a year. So that's a 32% increase in his Social Security benefits and a 32% increase in her Social Security benefits, not to mention allowing his pension or IRA rollover to compound for another 5 years. And at age 70 and a half, he finally retired. Now he's traveling the world. He's vibrant and healthy. He has higher Social Security income for both he and his wife. He has a much, much larger investment portfolio, which produces a higher level of income. The result, John, is of that delayment in retirement is a higher level of income that is allowing for all of his hobbies, from his sports car club, photography, to a great deal of extensive travel. It's a much more rich and fulfilling life for him today as a result of that.
Well, we talk a lot here on the program about income, how to get a decent return in a low interest rate environment, and it's much more difficult today. But retirees need to think differently about how they invest. And what used to be a pretty formulated cookie cutter approach doesn't work anymore. You can't set it and forget it. What you really need to do in today's world is make sure that your investments provide for your specific needs rather than the common practice of using these formulas and assuming that basically everyone's retirement is going to follow the same type of pattern. That worked in times past in investing. It doesn't work today. Now, here on the program, Jim, you often talk about basic budgets, the bucket list, and targeting income to meet both objectives, meaning what you have to do to survive, and then excess money or surplus money on top of that that you can use to do things that you want to do but don't have to do. But I imagine the investment world is much more complicated than all of this when trying to reach these objectives.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we often talk about here about two parts to your budget, what I call your base budget, and then what I call the bucket list. But John, it's actually a little bit more complex than that. It's similar to what we call Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, if you look at your retirement needs, at the bottom of the pyramid, we call that survival money. Then there's safety money, there's freedom money, there's gift money, and dream money. Now, let me just kind of explain. Those are a lot of words, but survival income, that's money you need to make ends meet. How do you pay your bills? That could be coming in from either a pension if you work for the government or the state, or maybe you are fortunate to work for a corporation that had a defined benefit pension plan. They still do exist. Social Security, but you want some form of income that's coming in that's very predictable, it's reliable. You know, you don't have to depend on what's going on in the market, what Janet Yellen's going to say, or whatever the hot news item that the press is talking about over and over. It's predictable income. So that's what we call survival income. That's right at the bottom of the pyramid. And you need to make sure that that's taken care of. The second kind of income you need is called money needed to meet life's unexpected turns. That's what I call cash reserves. There's always something that comes up, home repairs, a new car, repairs on the cars, maybe some unexpected medical expenses. But you want to make sure you have a reserve fund, because we do know every year there's always something that happens, whether it's plumbing breaks at the house, you need new tires for the car, or once again, you have some medical bills that you weren't counting on. So that's what we call the safety income. Then the third category is what we call freedom income. And that's money to do the things that really bring enjoyment and fulfillment to your life. It's the activities. It's your relaxation. It's the travel. It's playing golf, adventure, anything that you like to do. I mentioned earlier, for example, my doctor that delayed retirement. You know, he had some hobbies. He has a sports car. He's a member of a sports car club. They go on these road trips. He has photography, and then he's doing extensive travel. And then something what we call gift income. We often see this with a lot of our clients where they're making gifts to their children, or let's say their grandchildren for their education, you know, if they have surplus income. And then there's always what we call the dream income, and that's for buying those things that you want to have, and you think, gee, you know, now that I have the money or I've accumulated, I'd love to have this. You know, for me, it was a sailboat. For my doctor friend, it was a special sport car. It could be a motorhome, whatever it is that you desire, that you go, gee, you know, I've always dreamed of having this. So we call that dream income. And essentially, once you establish those needs, then it's pretty simple in terms of taking a look at your portfolio and your various sources of income. And you organize your portfolio around a specific need, so your portfolio is more targeted and task-oriented. That way, for example, if you have some dividend-paying blue-chip stocks in your portfolio, the reason they're in there is they're going to provide you not only with income, but an increasing inflation hedge over the years to take care of those medical expenses and the higher cost of living that you will face later on in your retirement years, because we're all living longer and you don't want to outlive your assets. You want a future source of increasing income. So if you own a Coca-Cola, a Johnson & Johnson, a Procter & Gamble, an Exxon, you don't panic when the market corrects like it did in the month of August and September, because the stocks that you own, you know what they're there for. They're there to provide a specific need, so you don't panic, because you got other assets that are also producing income that are fulfilling a specific need. For example, a laddered bond portfolio that produces predictable income that helps pay the monthly expenses.
All right, so let's get into the weeds here, Jim, and look at some specifics.
If you take a look at your budget, it basically has three elements. I mentioned a bunch of specifics there, you know, safety, needs money, dream money, and those kind of things. But basically, your budget has three elements. The first two elements are things like a checking account balance to handle ordinary monthly expenses and emergency reserve. That emergency reserve is there to handle the unexpected expenses that always crop up, from medical to home or car repair. Think of these accounts not as investments, because let's face it, folks, gone are the days you got double digits or high single digits on your cash, your checking. And so You need to look at those differently. Yes, you're not getting much money, but they're there for a reason. You need a checking account to pay your expenses, where your Social Security checks or pension checks flow into, or even your investment income. So you need that. And you also need that cash reserve. You know, maybe you could get a little bit more instead of a money market fund. You might want to tie it up in maybe short-term CDs. At least you get a little bit of interest. And then there is what I call the third bucket. And that bucket really is a growth reserve. This is more appropriate for clients not yet in retirement. So let's say you're 5 or 10 years away from retirement. You're really going to want your portfolio invested in stocks that produce dividends, a little bit more conservative, but you're trying to build the asset base because you're going to need it when you retire. And then when you retire, you might want to switch to a more dividend-oriented stock portfolio that's going to produce not only monthly income. And the good news here is if you look well today, you can find dividend yields that are much higher than what you can get into bonds. I mean, you can get 3, 4, 5% on dividends. And that's the one major change, John, I would say that's much different than, let's say, when I started in the business 35 years ago, because back then, the interest rate on bonds, you know, 15.5% on treasuries, 9 to 10 on municipals, utilities were paying 13-14%. So you could get much, much more income on, let's say, things like fixed income. Today, that's not necessarily true. Actually, a lot of fixed income, I mean, treasuries are in the little over 2% range compared to a lot of stocks out there that are paying 3-4%. But the idea is that third bucket is you need income because you need growth in income and assets to handle future income needs, inflation needs, future medical needs. So really what you're doing is taking your lifestyle, breaking it down into different buckets so you know what your needs are, and then designing a plan that is going to work and fulfill each one of those essential needs, whether it's emergency money, whether it's dream money. In the case, I go back to my doctor, the idea with him working part-time is they would live off that part-time income and then defer his Social Security benefits and defer his wife's Social Security benefits. She would get half of his, but also allow his pension or his IRA to grow another 5 years. And the result was, at age 70, when he did finally step down to retire, higher Social Security benefits for both him and his wife in a more substantial portfolio, which is allowing him to do everything he ever dreamed of. He bought the sport car that he wanted, almost has his own lab. He does a lot of photography. And, you know, he has one daughter that's married to her husband working overseas. So they do a lot of overseas travel. But basically, we defined all those different buckets. And he's also doing some of the similar things that his own father did, funding and contributing to his grandchildren's education.
Now, what I want to do here, Jim, now is zoom in on the investment aspects of planning for retirement. Because when you talk about having adequate cash in your checkbook to pay expenses and then having a savings account, which is used as a reserve for emergency, that's sort of self-obvious. It's the investment part that's a little more difficult here, because this is the difficult part. Bond yields right now are next to nothing. If you look at cash, well, that's close to zero. Commodities are currently in a bear market, and stocks, let's face it, they've been pretty volatile as of late. So this is a difficult environment just for an investor, even if you're not even thinking about getting retirement. What do you do in this kind of an environment?
Well, I mean, I'm going to turn the playbook upside down. If you are, let's say, at the beginning of your retirement, let's say you just retired within the last year or so, believe it or not, you should have a higher portion of your assets in fixed income, or let's say immediate annuities, at the beginning of your retirement. Now, the reason behind this is that you don't want to go through a major bear market early on in your retirement and draw down your assets. We've discussed over the years a number of case studies here on the program of individuals that retired in, let's say, 2006, 7, and 8 when the market was going up. And then the crisis hit. And when they retired, they put the bulk of their assets in the stock market because the stock market was going up double digits each year. So the natural thing was, well, this is going to continue. Unfortunately, along came 2007, 8, and 9, and the stock market lost 45%. Of its value. So you don't want to go through that at the beginning of your retirement. Now, what you want is things like a laddered bond portfolio, something that's going to be predictable. You know your income and what you'll have when the bonds mature. Next to laddered bonds, then you're going to want to put some money in dividend-paying blue-chip stocks for their inflation-fighting characteristics and their reliability. Now, here is a twist. As you age, the percentage allocated to stocks, folks, actually should increase to handle future inflation and medical needs. So a lot of times, and what the industry does is just the opposite. Oh, you're age 65, we're going to put X amount of dollars in a bond portfolio. It should be in a bond portfolio, but it should be geared towards what your specific needs are. And then as those bonds, let's say, are laddered, as they come due, you gradually shift some of that money out of bonds into stocks, dividend-paying blue-chip stocks. I mean, think of people that bought dividend-paying blue-chip stocks in 2009 and 10 and even 11 when we had a correction. Think of the income and the dividend increases. We did a program here a while back, and I give the example of Coca-Cola. Between 2007 and 2009, Coca-Cola increased its dividend 28% during the financial crisis, and since 2009, they've increased their dividend 132%. So if you were having some money in cash or you had a bond mature in 2009 or 10, then gradually what you do is you increase your allocation to stocks so that you've got an increasing income-producing pool of income that is rising every single year to handle those future expenses. Because basically, when you retire, your expenses are like a barbell. Heavy on the front end, those are the hobbies, the travel when you're fit physically, and heavy on the back end when you start running into medical costs, as we'll discuss one of our case studies today.
Well, you know, if you think about it, Jim, this is just the opposite of what's practiced and recommended by your industry today, as a matter of fact. I mean, I know if you remember, we've had a number of experts on the program, thinking here of Wade Fow to others who have validated this argument, and they have studies that substantiate the success of not outliving your assets. But in today's world, I mean, where are you going to find those values? I mean, given that quantitative easing has driven down interest rates and it's going to be with us for some time longer, as we see it, and after nearly 7 years of gains, stocks are no longer cheap as they were back in 2009.
You know, it certainly isn't as easy as it was back in 2009. You're right, John. I mean, in 2009, gosh, you could have bought anything, and the dividend yields, PE ratios were much better. But, you know, there's still plenty of opportunities if you know where to look. I mean, we're finding values in the municipal bond market and certain sectors of the corporate bond world as well. And we're still able to get over 3% tax-free and over 4% on the taxable side. Now, on the stock market, we love corrective cycles like what we saw in the month of August and the month of September. It was a time when if you had some cash built up, you could pick up 4 to 5% dividend yields and over 4% interest on the corporate bond side. So corrections need to be used to your advantage. In other words, you look forward to them because you come out with a shopping list. Let's say there was an item you've always wanted, a new car, a motorhome, or something like that. And then all of a sudden we go through a downturn, the economy turns soft, and all of a sudden you're able to get these items at a substantial discount. It's the same thing with the stock market. You know, once again, it isn't as easy as it once was, but the opportunities are still there. We always keep a running shopping list of what we want to buy and own for our clients, both on the fixed income side and also on the stock market side. And then you wait, as Warren Buffett says, for the perfect pitch. When the market corrects, people panic. There's widespread selling. The world's going to end. Stocks are driven down to reasonable levels. And if you're sitting there with cash, well, you go shopping.
So given that the world we live in today is much different than our parents' world of retirement, what does it take to live a fulfilling retirement experience without the worries of outliving your assets? That would seem to be the real big core. You're trying to project into the unknown, you know, and as we stated on this program, the world of double-digit interest rates, optimum Social Security benefits, and deferred pension plans, well, that's all disappearing over the horizon and won't be coming back. What people usually need, if I have found in my experience, is a checklist. It's like A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, do that.
Well, I mean, this should come as no surprise, but what you want to do is have a successful retirement. You don't want to worry about outliving your assets. And the best way to do that is what we preach here on the program, is start out with the plan. It doesn't matter whether you have pensions, what your assets are, there's always a way to navigate and achieve your retirement goals. You may need to make certain compromises. Maybe your plan is an evolving one. Let's say it includes, let's say, delaying retirement, working part-time, maybe you're downsizing, maybe you're relocating to another state, you're using annuities, or let's say targeted investments. There are so many tools available to you. You just need a plan and a strategy to help get you there.
So summing it up, it is a different world out there, given the safe guarantees of the past are gone, but today the options are actually more numerous. It's no different than having a roadmap. You'll need a plan to help you get there. And once you arrive, you need a plan to keep you safe and comfortable for the rest of your life. So that's basically the thrust of where we are. You have to digest that and come to grips with the environment in which we find ourselves. Now it's time that we go into our case study. These case studies are actually based on real life experiences. We just changed the names of the people to protect their privacy here. So let's grab number one here, Jim.
This is sort of an unusual case study that we've done for retirement. This is the case of John and Kathy Peters. John is a doctor. He's going to be retiring at the end of this year, but also in this year, both of them are going through a divorce. It's an amicable divorce, but basically they have separate interest. You know, there was no lawyers brought in other than in terms of mediation, in terms of how the assets were going to be split. It was very amicable. In fact, occasionally when they go to travel to see their grandkids, they actually travel together. But they went through a divorce this year. Now, we're going to take each one of them separate because they each have separate needs. Unfortunately, John was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease this year, which is one of the reasons he's retiring at the end of this year. And in the divorce settlement, roughly, we had about a $5.4 million estate, which include the house. Now, basically, John decided that his portion was going to be liquid assets. So his portion of the division of the estate was $2.7 million. The house went to his wife, Kathy. That was free and clear. John's annual living expenses is $86,000. That may sound like a lot of money. Most of that was travel. And obviously, with the onset of Parkinson's disease, he wants to do as much travel as he can early on. Basically, his Social Security is roughly $35,000. We did a financial plan for this couple, and we did file and suspend and file and restrict for them. So now at age 70, his Social Security is $35,000. In their portfolio, the one thing that we did is John was a big believer early on in gold as a result of listening to our program, but unfortunately, he kept a lot of his gold and didn't lighten up on it. So 30% of his portfolio was in bullion. And I basically, we had to tell John, this isn't going to work. Bullion doesn't produce any income. So we took the bullion allocation down to 10%. And what we're also doing is John has two particular issues. One, he does know because of Parkinson's, he will end up in a long-term care facility, which is going to be quite expensive. Secondly, he has longevity that runs into his family. His father lived well into his 90s. So we have future long-term care. And because of his diagnosis with Parkinson's and at age 70, long-term care insurance would be just too cost prohibitive. So out of the 2.7, we're taking $500,000 and we're going to put that into an indexed annuity that's going to pay three times the income when he goes into a facility. For example, in year one, the income payout would be $77,000. Then we'd go to $79,000. It would go to $84,000, $100,000, $113,000, and $119,000. And we do know because of that disease, that's where he's going to be. And so this is what we're going to use. We're setting that money aside. It's guaranteed. And that's what's going to be used to take care of long-term care facilities because he's doing everything he can medically to fight the disease with therapy, with medication. But he knows sooner or later he's going to be in a long-term care facility. The rest was basically divided between bonds and stocks, which would produce an annual income of $60,000. You add that to the $35,000 that he got in Social Security. He's got roughly about $10,000 more income a year than what he needs. He's not going to buy a house. And one of the reasons he doesn't want to buy a house is he said, Jim, you know, sooner or later, I know I'm going to end up in a long-term care facility. When that time comes, I don't want to be bothered with, you know, having to put my house up for sale, move things. So he's got a real nice apartment. He lives in an area actually close to his ex-wife, and because they're still good friends. And then he's also in a situation where, you know, he's close to his friends. So there was no issue of buying a home here, which is one of the reasons in the divorce settlement that his wife, Kathy, got the home, because she loves a home. And her thing is gourmet cooking. They love wine. And so basically, John's plan, $500,000 set aside in an indexed annuity that would guarantee a certain level of income, three times the income, when he has to make that decision to go into a long-term care facility. And then basically he would rent, and of course he would be accumulating excess income even above his travel needs. Now, on his wife Kathy's side, her income, her needs were $90,000, her Social Security and pension, the combination would be $32,000. And so what we did on her side was basically put a bond and stock portfolio that would provide for her income. But here's the key thing. The house was worth somewhere around $800,000. It was free and clear. Now, we basically said to Kathy, down the road, because we have a lot more portion in fixed income, if inflation, medical costs, living costs start to go up, she's really not into travel. She works and volunteers in a private school for disadvantaged children, and she devotes a lot of her spare time to charitable work in philanthropy. This is basically what she loves doing. So a lot of that $90,000 budget also includes a lot of philanthropic gifts that she makes each year. But we told her down the road what we're going to use as a backstop. We're not going to use it now, and maybe we will never need to do it if everything works out well. But we're going to do a reverse mortgage on the home because she doesn't want to sell the home. She doesn't want to downsize. She loves the home. And the other thing is she goes, you know, I really don't care. My kids, they had two children, both children. One's a doctor. Another one's a very successful lawyer. And you know what? They don't need income. So she is not concerned upon her death if the $800,000 house goes to the children. You know, she'll have other assets. So as a backstop for inflation or any medical issues that may arise down the road, we're going to use a reverse mortgage. So here was a case, John, an amicable divorce. They're still friends, but basically different interest, different life paths at this time in their life. In this issue, we're using a reverse mortgage for her down the road if need be. And in the case of John, we're using an indexed annuity to take care of long-term care because of his Parkinson's illness.
Coming up tomorrow on Lifetime Income, this is an interview you're not going to want to miss. Dr. Peter Hansen, he's an orthopedic surgeon, but the topic will be stem cell usage in joint repair. You know, a lot of times people go in for joint replacements and the operation isn't painful, but the recovery is, and it has a long period of time, up to 6 months. And the question is, are we approaching a type of therapy that maybe where we don't have to do that? So he's going to speak to that tomorrow, Dr. Peter Hansen here on Lifetime Income.
That concludes this week's Lifetime Income. As John mentioned, please listen to Dr. Peter Hansen, especially if you have arthritis or you have muscle inflammation, tissue problems. It is a very exciting field. He's an orthopedic surgeon, but he's using stem cells, your own stem cells, for remarkable healing and benefits. I'm really excited about this interview. I've read about him. I've heard about him locally here. I learned about him from one of the doctors in the practice that I go to. I go to a naturopath, and he is known for his own work with stem cells. So you're really going to enjoy this. I hope you don't miss that. In the meantime, we're out of time. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.